Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can come together this morning. We call upon your Holy Spirit to guide us in the things we're going to share. Give us the word. Let your presence and your anointing quicken us and allow the word to become real to enable us to put it to work in our lives. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for we know, Lord, that in it we can find everything that we need for life and godliness. And as we, Lord, come to you, Lord, we come to your word. As we, Lord, look at the word, we look at you. And we today know that as we, Lord, come together to share the word, Lord, your presence, your anointing, your direction, your enablement comes to us. And we are able to, Lord, implement it and put it to work in our lives to give us victory and to give us the ability to be the people that you want us to be, that you made us, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we continue on the topic that we started, the series we started, on becoming who we are. Now, you know, the important thing to understand in this, all this message, you know, that is directed to people that are believers. All the things that we are going to be sharing are for people that are born again. They do not apply to everybody. God has a very clear distinction between the people that are his children and the ones that aren't his children. You know, according to the world, everybody is a child of God, but that's not so. That's not what the Bible says. And we have to accept what the word said and what God said because he knows what whose children are and who are not. So we have to understand, you know, but this is not such a complicated thing. The only thing you have to do when you hear some of the things that we say, you know, if you say, well, this is what I want, it's very simple, you know. Say, I take that, and I believe that what Jesus did for me is effective in my life, and I receive him as my Lord and Savior. It's very simple. So, you know, you can do it. Don't need to go do it formally. You don't need to come in front here and to say it. You just say it to him, and right there on the spot, the greatest miracle that can happen, it takes place. And you are transformed. You are not anymore the way you were before. You are different. You know, you are a new creature. So that's what we want to realize. Now, last week we started with James chapter 1 about being a doer of the word and being, you know, and all the different things that we need to understand or to start with that are in the word. And in the word we are realizing and we are finding out who we are. You know, what really we are alike in our spirit as we are believers, as we are born-again believers. And we have to understand at the same time that when we are born again, the only thing that happens, really, the greatest things that happen is that our spirit is reborn. And that we are going to see in detail some of the implications of that, but the fact is that our union, our ability to receive God in us, it becomes a reality. And we start to live within us. Okay, that doesn't mean that we are completely aligned with God's ways. There are three parts that we are made of. We are made of a spirit, soul, and body. And the first one is the spirit, that as we are born again is changed instantaneously. And we become receptors of the Spirit of God. But that's only part of the story. Our soul is not. Our soul, maybe some things may be changed because we understood them, but most of the things are going to be just as messed up after as before. And because of that, there is to be a transformation taking place so that we can align up our soul with, and that means, you know, our emotions, our thoughts, our feelings, and so on, with God's principles and word and say. and position. And then there is our body, that is also another thing that is actually often very little affected by our experience. Sometimes is, but it's an exception more than a rule. And that too has to be submitted to God. So there are things that we need to line up with God, and things that actually already take place, that are took place the moment we are born again. The soul, the change in the transformation of the soul, happens through the renewing of the mind. This is something that God doesn't do. That God said, now you renew your mind. So it's something that we had to do, go to the Word, and the Word is the things that bring to us the understanding in our mind so that we can understand and line up with the Word of God. As that becomes a reality in our life, and that is not just a question of hearing the Word, it's not just a question of doing a Bible study, it's a question of implementing it in our lives. As we become doer of the Word in the different areas, then we get understanding, the proper understanding, which is really knowledge of deep knowledge, experiential knowledge of the Word of God and all the impact it has in our lives. And the same thing has to happen with our body. Our body is still subject to the weakness of the world, and these need to be also submitted unto God. So that's where it starts. You know, just if you read Romans chapter 12, it says, you know, then you have to submit your body as living sacrifice. So you see, this is, if you see the Old Testament sacrifices, you know, were, have very specific characteristics. You couldn't bring, you know, anything with a disease or a problem or a sickness or animals that offered it. You know, you couldn't take anything that had a spot in it. And so when we submit our body as a living sacrifice, this is what we should suppose or she should want to do, that we have to submit our body spotless to God in all the different areas. Bodies is not just the physical conditions, but also the action, the behavior that we have. All the different things that we do, these are part of the body. We have to submit it to Him so that He, you know, the body itself lines up. But we have to remember one thing. Our body is not us. We are, the Spirit is what is more important. And the Spirit is what has proper dominance in our life, is what has to be controlling all the other side. Now, being three parts, you can see that when the Spirit is changed and pulls us in the direction of God, and our mind is not changed, there's still stuff there that still need to be changed and still pull us in the direction of the world, you're going to have a conflict right there. Okay? And the conflict is a problem that needs to be resolved. Because until that is resolved, you're going to be there struggling. The body is another thing. So before you actually are able to really achieve, get a big result with the body, you had to fix up your soul. And when you fix up your soul with the renewing of the mind, by which you are starting to line up your thoughts, your emotions, your feelings, your attitudes, and all your other things, you know, that are regulating your mind, operating in your mind with God, then you get all the three, two that are in agreement. And then you have a majority. All right, so you have to have something going together, because otherwise our two against one, your spirit can do nothing. Okay, that's why, you know, Jesus himself said, you know, the spirit is weak, but the flesh is strong. Now, you know, seems a contradiction of terms, because the spirit is much more powerful than the flesh. Nevertheless, Jesus said that because our flesh in ourselves is stronger than our spirit when we are not ever submitted it and our mind is not being renewed by the Word of God. Okay, so the idea is actually that, to release the power of the Holy Spirit in us and the power of the Spirit, we have to have our mind to open up to allow himself to line up with the Word of God and to have the understanding to be able to follow through the things that God says we have to do. All right? So, but when that happens, then things start to change. You know, our all our life changes. And the impact of that is enormous. Excuse me. Last time I talked about epistemology, that is a branch of knowledge or whatever that has to do with knowledge. You see, and this is the areas in which things, people generally get mixed up because they confuse beliefs with reality. See, everybody, people, reality is what they believe. But it's not the truth. What really counts is the truth. Because the truth is unchangeable, and the truth is what makes a difference. So, and the only truth that there is not achieved through mind knowledge, because all our knowledge generally is received through our senses, not completely, but generally the flesh receive knowledge through the senses. Well, that's not our knowledge of the truth. This is the knowledge of the circumstances we are in, of the evidences around us, of the fact that we can see around us, but they are not necessarily truth, and they are not stable. Facts change. Our beliefs change according to our experiences. So they are unstable, and they are, you know, the only thing that doesn't change is the truth. And the only thing that shows us the truth is the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. Who believes in me, you know, is the only one that can get to the Father. So that's the thing, okay? The Lord is the one that is going to guide us and direct us to know the truth and to have an effect on our life. Now, after having said that, one can understand one point, one thing. That even born-again believer do not know Jesus well enough. Hello? Yeah. And why do I say that? Excuse me, I had to drink something. This is dry. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. It says, Beloved, now we are the sons of God. He's talking about born-again believers here, all right? It's not everybody. Where am I? And it does not yet appear what it shall be. So evidently, you know, there is not a full manifestation of our sonship, all right? But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, the idea here is simple, that when we are going to be able to see him as he is, when we have knowledge of him as he is, we are going to be like him. We are going to be like him. Doesn't mean that we look like him. It's just that we operate like him. We are going to be, you know, like operating like him, operating like sons of God. So we already are. It says, you know, now we are sons of God. So we are, but actually there is no manifestation, isn't there? And because this is only happening at the level of our spirit and is not happening to the other two levels, okay, of our existence. We had to get to the place when we cooperate with God. And that is going to be manifested in us. And when that happens, this is our goal. This is God's plan for us. See, this is what we've been talking about the previous series. See, God's plan for us is to become like Jesus. And to become like Jesus involves the fact that even on the outside, when they see us, we should be able to say the same thing that Jesus said. You have seen me, you have seen the Father, I am the Father and one. Okay? That's the end, that's the purpose. And we have to get to that place, and the way to get to that place is not by just praying, is not by just fasting, is not by, these things don't happen that way. These things happen by knowledge. By the knowledge of him, says in Ephesians. And it's not by knowing Jesus, you know, knowing about Jesus. That knowledge is not knowing about Jesus. It's the knowledge because we know him as he is. That's the type of knowledge that we have. You know, it's the full understanding of his knowledge, the knowledge that he had. That's what makes the difference. Because that enables us to think the way God thinks. That enables us to act like God acts. And that means to act like Jesus. Now, you know, Jesus said it very clearly a number of times, but when we see what Jesus said in the Gospels, again, there is a limitation or a limit or a boundary in which Jesus could talk. Every time we read the Bible, we have to consider a number of things. Number one, when those things were written, by who they were written, and to who they were addressed. Because that makes an enormous difference in the way they are communicated. Not all the scriptures are the same. If I want to teach calculus to a five-year-old person, I'm going to have a very hard time to do that. And I had to communicate in a way that a five-year-old person understand what I'm talking about. But I'm teaching. If I teach in the same topic at the college level, I can talk in a completely different language. Well, it's the same thing in the Bible. You know, if one is born again and has a relationship with God already, I can talk to that person in a way that is different than somebody that is not born again. Now, when Jesus talked to people in the Gospels, he didn't talk to anyone that was born again. Because they could not have been born again. And what? That's why he said, there are many things that you need to know, but you cannot bear them yet. Okay. And so that he was going to reveal them, and he revealed them after he was resurrected. There are a number of scriptures mentioning his revelation that he gave to the apostles and then to Paul after he was resurrected. He was for 40 days with the apostles discussing these things. Let me see, I can read to you some of the. I'm just jumping up around here, but that's okay. Yeah, okay, let's start, let's take a little step back here. John 16:12, he says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. See, why they couldn't bear them now? Because they weren't born again. They didn't have the capacity in their spirit to discern certain things that becomes only discernible after you're born again. So that had to happen before he could discuss and present this thing. He presented things about the kingdom of God, you know. But if you notice, for example, in the Beatitude and other places, all the time when he talks about the kingdom of God, he wasn't specific. He said, the kingdom of God is like. He couldn't say the detail of the things because the people could not grasp them in their mind because they weren't born again. Later on, when he was resurrected, he met with the apostles, and what did he discuss? The kingdom of God. at that time, you see, they were ready to, you know, before the kingdom of God, they say, you know, Jesus is coming as be a king. You know, when are you coming? You know, when you're going to establish your kingdom? So they were fixated with the physical things according to the Old Testament ideas, and they didn't break loose of that. I mean, I wanted to be, you know, one of the two brothers. I want to be on your red side and the right side and left side, you know, sending the mother there. I mean, this sounds to me like politics. Things were just the same today as they were there. Amen? So you see, the thing is that they were still operating in the flesh. I mean, they had been with Jesus. They had been exposed to great things. They had been given power to cast out demons and to heal people out of Jesus' instruction and command to do so. But that, you know, and they could do these things because, you know, even Judas himself was one of the 12. They were sent out. He went down. He must have cast out demons like all the others. And they must have healed people like all the others. He went back and says, oh, even the demons obey us. He says, big deal. You see, the thing is to understand that we are in such a better place today than they ever were. Lots of people say, oh, it would have been so nice to be when Jesus was around. Well, that is completely unscriptural. Because Jesus himself said, it's convenient for me to go, so that I can go to the Father and can release the promise. So you see, our fleshy idea, that this religious idea, that is, oh, you know, I wanted to be close to Jesus, is really unbased. No, it's not based on the Word. It's based on our own ideas that need to be changed and adjusted according to what the Word says. And this is part of the renewal of the mind, so that instead of being there wishing to be then, 2,000 years ago, what we should do is wishing to be now, because we are in a time when Jesus is coming. And now we can have the Holy Spirit, and they didn't have it. And it's available to us. And he's with us all the time, if we give him a chance. See, the problem is us, not God. And we just generally, you know, human nature is to blame somebody else. And the first one that gets blamed is God about everything. Okay? So, that's, for example, you know, continuing the scripture I was reading before. There are so many scriptures that I could read to you, because this is probably the biggest revelation. The topic we are talking about now is the biggest revelation in the Bible. It's the culmination, is the final level of the Bible in terms of revelation of God to us. Paul called it the mystery of the ages. I mean, that means the mystery has been from the beginning and it's been there and now it's been revealed to us. So just the idea that this is such a big thing that being kept there until the last days, and we are still in the last days. They started then, but they're still going. And, you know, it's the biggest things that can happen to humanity in general. It's really God's plan implemented in us and for us. And so, you know, when we get this, when we receive these ideas and become part of a, you know, it's not part of something, divinity someplace far away, or God and Jesus someplace away, it's close inside us. Has to do with us. It has to do with our identity. It has to do with who we are and who we are in Christ. When we receive that, the world, you know, everything breaks up. Everything changes. And we start walking in a way that is different. We start walking in power. We start walking in closeness with God. And God starts working through us in a way that otherwise is impossible. there is not possible to achieve that level. Or people try to get to God through the effort that they make. But the only way to get to God is actually through the Word. Jesus was the Word made flesh. And when our mind is renewed through the Word, then the Word has to become flesh in us. And when that happens, then, you know, our behavior is going to be not anymore that we have to think about, you know, what would Jesus do? You know, we do what we do because we are who we are. He's not there thinking or not trying to be pious or he's not trying to be thing. You know, is the time when, you know, you see somebody sick and you stretch the hand and Jesus, you know, be healed. You don't go around even just praying long prayers. Doesn't need to. Jesus didn't do that. I mean, you know, 5,000 people in an afternoon, how can you pray and get healed 5,000 people? You know, evidently, he wasn't there 10, you know, 15 minutes per person. Would have taken how many days to do that? See, that's a change. That's a mentality that, you know, the vision, the understanding that we had to get into. And it's not a question of being special. It's not a question of, you know, being proud about it. You know there's not even you. It's not you. You are just a channel. You are just used by God in His plan because you are lining up. And you are a part of the whole thing. See, and this is what the job of the Holy Spirit is, too. I mean, you know, in verse 16 of John 16, verse 13, says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, you know, He will guide you into all truth. You see, what the whole truth is talking about it, you know, is actually getting to this revelation, this understanding, how to apply to our life. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatever He hears, He shall speak, and He will announce to you things to come. And the things to come is the things that actually we have to understand. See, the Holy Spirit brings understanding so that we can act on that understanding. It's in the knowledge of Him, Ephesians chapter 1. That's the knowledge of Him, continuously repeated. And that's why, you know, probably Ephesians is one of the biggest, most important chapters or books in the Bible because it brings us close to what God's plan is for us. And we have to receive it. Let me continue. See, and He will glorify Me, for He will receive of Mine and will announce it to you. You see, it just brings the revelation of Jesus. See, it's not just a question of knowing the Gospels. Do you understand that? Because they were with Him for that long, so evidently, if in the flesh, they knew Jesus. But they didn't know Jesus that they needed to know. And He had to bring them to the place where they were born again, they were Spirit-filled, so that actually the Holy Spirit could bring the revelation to them of who Jesus is and how He would operate in them. Are you following me? All right. I mean, this is, you see, that the thing is what's going to happen. I had to say this, you know, that lots of time people want to be prayed for, to receive healing. When you come in with the truth, the Word, and the words are working in you, you don't need anybody to pray for you. You know, you can be there listening and the Word hits you, and at the end of the service, you realize, oh, I don't have the problem anymore. It just goes. Why? Because He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. You see, it's the Word that has the power. It's not, you know, the anointing. People have stretched so much the anointing to the point that really it becomes, a funny religion. The anointing in us is the Holy Spirit. More anointing than that you can't get. Elijah didn't have the anointing that we have, because the anointing was just coming on him. We have it inside. See, the problem is that we had to remove stuff so that it can come out. But it's there. The whole thing, the whole package. Okay. So, you know, receive of mine and will announce it to you. All things of the Father are mine. Therefore, he said that he will take of mine and will announce it to you. So this is the revelation about Jesus, about the things to come that is now available, okay? Not just in the gospel, but also in the Holy Spirit coming to us and revealing to us what we have now, the present time, but was given 2,000 years ago. We don't need to wait to get it. We just need to open and to start receiving it, receiving the revelation, receiving the understanding that we may receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know. That's what we're talking about. And when we do that, our life changes completely. We are starting to live not as the way Paul said it, not as mere humans, but as children of God, as sons of God. That's what has to happen. That's what, you know, the impact should be in us. Jesus' revelation by the Holy Spirit, you know. And then there is another scripture I wanted to bring to you. This is John chapter 8, verse 12, where Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follow me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, this is just one scripture. There are many along the same line that are going to be applied in a much wider way. But we have to realize that this, you know, that light that is in Jesus, as he comes to be in us, then we become carrier of that light. Because he's inside us. You see, people should not see us, the West. You know, it's like John the Baptist said, we had to decrease that he can increase. So as we decrease, he can increase inside us and start operating the way he wants us to operate. But just doesn't happen automatically. It just doesn't happen because we play religion or we have, services. It doesn't happen because somebody laid hands on us. See, everybody wants to be prayed for so that they get it that way. No, there is only one way in which the transformation within us can happen. And that only way is described in Romans chapter 18, chapter 12, that says very clearly that we had to renew our mind with the word. We had to understand how the renewing of the mind takes place. And we had to be able to receive it so that we had to cooperate. There is a work that we had to do concerning that. You know, there is something we had to do ourselves. And that involves commitment, involves decisions, involves many things. I better remember that the time has changed. I can keep going forever, but the point is, you just remind me, how many minutes are there left? Pardon? The usual time? No, I mean, 1 hour before. That clock is wrong anyway. All right. So, let's go back to, you see, we had to follow not our ideas, not the religious ideas to go about how to get close to God and everything else, you know, because everybody has his own ideas. You know, your ideas don't count. God has his own ideas, and that's the only thing that works with God. You know, you can play all your ideas, doesn't make any difference, and you are going to be there banging against the wall and you're wondering why it doesn't work. You do what the Word of God says, and it works. So the things that we had to learn is that when something doesn't work, you know, our theology is messed up. Pretty simple. You know, to me, you know, when something is true, it works. Something is not truth, doesn't matter what you do, it's not going to get it to work. Okay? So that's the best test of theology to me, from my point of view. Otherwise, it's just philosophy. And philosophy can be, you know, has to do with beliefs that are going to be personally dependent, and they mean nothing. The only thing that counts is the truth, and the truth is in the Word, so you have to go to the Word to find out what you have to do. That's very simple. And the simpler we keep it, the more of a chance we have to succeed. Amen? So, some of the teaching that are important, I think, to believe is that we had to line up with the instruction that Jesus gave to the apostles after they were born again. Because if we are born again today, then what he said to them applies directly to us. The things that he said before and the things that we can read in the Old Testament, they have to be filtered through the revelation that Jesus gave to us when we were born again. All right? Because that is going to reveal, you know, it's a question of language. It's a question of the way we express ourselves. Okay? If you are at grade 5, you cannot talk about stuff of grade 10. All right? So Jesus talked to people that with the great type of understanding before, even in the, for example, the Beatitudes. Okay, the Beatitudes are beautiful, and everybody, you know, says what great message was that time, you know. But most of I did a study on them some time ago, and there is not much that makes much sense that people are saying about them. And you know, I prepared a series of blogs on them. I haven't finished them because they were pretty long, but essentially. All the message of the Beatitudes is about the kingdom, but expressed in terms that people that don't know the kingdom. But if you know the kingdom, you can see through what they're saying and they're applying completely to the born again experience and the spirit filled experience that we have. Okay, but there is there, but it's hidden in the message. Because he couldn't talk about this stuff. They didn't have that experience. They couldn't connect with that reality. But he was preparing them for that. Now, when you come from after, and you have that experience already, and you look at them, and then you can see it through those glasses, then you can see what he was really saying. And you can see that it's a complete confirmation of the same thing over and over again about the victory that we have, about the power that we have, about the ability that we have. You know, some of the things that often the way they're applied are really applied the wrong way. I could give you some example, but I'm going to, maybe on Thursday night. Okay. One of the things that you remember, the one of the important thing. You know, that Jesus did that after he was resurrected, you know, he was starting to talk to them and explaining the kingdom. Okay. And one of the things that he started to really emphasize, you know, that, in, for example, Acts chapter 1, verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after he threw the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostle whom he had chosen. To him, he also presented himself alive after his suffering and many infallible proofs. Being seen of them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining what? The kingdom of God. You see, he was correcting the ideas of the kingdom of God that were wrong, that the Jews had concerning the kingdom. This is why they rejected him. See, he was straightening up and explaining how the spiritual kingdom that he came to establish was going to work. Okay, one of the things that he stressed at that time, evidently it was a component of it, because that he was that is coming the following verses, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. You see, the promise of the Father, which was actually the Holy Spirit, that was, you know, prophesied from the very past, you know, was an important component to operating the kingdom. It was more than just being born again, because they were already born again when they were talking to them. He visited them and says, you know, that they were born again. Now, this is what makes it, you know, see, he could not teach these things. He could not command these things to them before. So this is part of the scripture that I was reading to you before. This is said, you know, there are things that you cannot bear yet. But now they could bear them, and he could start opening up. Okay? But, you know, somebody to stay with you for 40 days, talking with you and teaching you, you know, he wasn't wasting his time. He wasn't just there to have a picnic with them. Although, you know, he had some picnics and some other things, and he ate and so on with them. You know, because you know, that's the way he operated. He was... at the fellowship, at the communion with them. Okay? All right. So, and being baptized and assembled together with them, he commanded them to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Oh, John truly baptized with water, but you will baptize with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You know, that's the thing. And that didn't stop there. There are many other situations in which also the Bible talks about Jesus revealing, giving new revelation in the later on. For example, in Galatians, and you know, the major one that of the apostles that had greater revelation about what Jesus wanted to reveal was Paul. Okay, and the reason why it was Paul is because, you know, there are some people that actually say that Paul was actually heretical because he didn't teach the same thing that Jesus did. Okay? And there are some differences. The point of the difference is the way the language is used and the ability to communicate certain things at different level. So he could open up things that before could not be opened because Jesus himself said, I cannot tell you. Now he could tell. And the things could be told so that we can receive it and we can have it. All right? So this is the difference that we had to understand. And instead of thinking that he was, you know, went off at tangent, you know, is the fact that he actually got revelation from Jesus because Jesus himself revealed these things to him. And not just to him, but to the others too. Because when he finally had these messages, he went and he shared with the others, and the others agreed with him. Or wasn't rejected by the other apostles. So this idea that Paul was heretical in his teaching because he was not saying the same thing as Jesus, it's a lie of a theologian that don't understand anything. All right? So let me read here some things. Here. For example, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me, not according to men, for neither I received it from men, nor I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So you see, he got this directly from the Lord. And this is what most of the epistles, that's why, you know, the way Paul expresses the truth that he was revealed to him is better than all the others in a way, because he was... the more educated and prepared to do so. He was, you know, a rabbi. He was, you know, somebody that had been trained in the Old Testament and knew the Old Testament better than all the others. Okay. The other one were just fishermen or things like that. They were just, you know, they could not make that connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament that Paul could, understanding the differences, and stretching the differences so the people could receive it. All right. So, there is another one too. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, I doubtless, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast, I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. I know a man in Christ, which was himself, who 14 years ago, whether in body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such one was caught up in the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether it is in body or out of the body, do not know, God knows, he was caught up in paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for man to utter. So, you know, even in the revelation that he gave us, I believe he didn't tell us the whole story. Because he feel that, you know, he couldn't talk about everything that he received from the Lord. Okay, because evidently, you know, to receive certain things, you had to be on a certain level, spiritually. Okay? And when you get at that level, you get them. Period. So, now, see, from that point of view, we see why, for example, you know, in the New Testament, Hebrew was written. See, why was the Epistle of the Hebrews written in the New Testament? That's a good question. People say, you know, people, there is a big controversy, was Paul or was not Paul? To me, it's pretty evident it was Paul. Why? Because he was the only one who could do to write the stuff that he wrote. Simple. He was knowledgeable of the Old Testament, the other one weren't. Okay? And he could deal with the issues that actually were involved in the Old Testament. So this is why, you know, the Epistle to Hebrews was written for a number of reasons. It was written for the Jews, so they will know the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. It was written for the believers, so that they wouldn't be caught up in the Old Testament ideas and approaches, and would be able to read in the Old Testament without being influenced by Old Testament mentality. So he was correcting the distortion that even today is present of people that are Judaizing Christianity when it's there, it shouldn't be done so. Okay? So the idea is actually that he was, you know, helping people to, Jews, to understand Jesus. Non-Jews, like, you know, us or Romans, and to be able to read the Old Testament, to read the whole Bible, and to understand what they were saying before, and to understand the differences of what's going on, and the way to interpret things. Okay? So, and one of the first things that the book of Hebrews says, is in Hebrews 1:1. It says, God, who had many times and in many ways spoke in the time past to the fathers by the prophets. So you see, God in the Old Testament talks to the fathers, to the Old Testament people, through the prophet. As in these days, in this last day, spoken to us, how? By his Son. So you see, there is the message that comes to us is directly from Jesus. Okay? And it's both in the Gospels as well as the revelation that came after that he was resurrected and give us more information. Are you following me? So, you know, the people, for example, that when they become believers and they start reading the Bible from the Old Testament, they make a big mistake. Okay, they should start in the New Testament and possibly, you know, the way I said last week, they should start with the book of James. Because the book of James is the easiest book to apply practically to our Christian life and start to see is by doing the word that you are going to start to understand. So there it says, you know, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. So you start applying those simple principles that are actually almost physical that, you know, James talks about, control your mouth, you know, overcome temptations. Don't say that God has tempted you. I mean, you know, you read the Old Testament and it looks like God was tempting everybody. Well, evidently somebody is saying something different. Okay? Would you have to believe? I mean, you see, the thing is a question of interpreting, you know, things. In the Old Testament, they could not understand what Jesus was talking about. Okay? So we had to look at these things in a way that are going to be giving us an experience that fit with God's way of thinking. See, we have the mind of Christ, or we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. And we have the mind of Christ to the degree in which we have changed our mind with the Word of God. I think, possibly, we reached the time. Did we? Not yet? Oh, yes. Okay. Pardon? Oh, okay. I have a few minutes more. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. See, this is so important. This is, you know, just at the beginning, the first two lines, the first two verses of Hebrew establish one thing, the supremacy of Jesus' revelation about God. Okay? So that's the place, that's the reference point that we have. Okay? Now, you know, we don't even need, if you're not a Jew, it's not critical to start to read the book of Hebrew, because some of the things are really relevant to the Jews, but one of the things that says is important, it's not that I'm not saying that you shouldn't read it, you know, I'm just saying that to start with, you know, you get more confused than anything else. Okay? You start with something simple that you can connect, and then you get into the deeper things. Okay? So the fact that, you know, there is this coming out is that there is a new covenant that has been established. We operate in a new relationship with God. A covenant means that there is a contract between two people that establish the way the relationship is going to work. And the interesting thing is that, yeah, the covenant is not between us and God. The covenant now is between Jesus and God. And that makes the covenant unbreakable. But when we say that makes the covenant unbreakable, I'm going to leave you with that. When we say that the covenant is unbreakable, doesn't mean that you can benefit from it. It just simply means that you cannot break Jesus' covenant. But to benefit from his covenant, you had to be in Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? And to be in Christ doesn't mean that, oh yes, you know, Jesus is my Lord, with words. There is more than that. Okay, there has to be actually a congruence between your life and what you say and what your beliefs are. They have to be lining up. Your life has to be lined up with what his instructions are. I think this is a good place to stop. Amen? Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? So you see how important this is, because if we are able to grasp, you see, if we don't understand that, our Christian walk is going to be difficult. But if we understand that, you know, and we have the spirit of knowledge and revelation about these things, then we start operating, you know, it becomes almost easier to operate the way Jesus did. Because we know what to do. Otherwise, you don't know what to do. See, that's the problem with lots of Christians. They don't have the understanding in what they should be doing. And so, that is going to open us up to the truth that are going to transform our life and to show us what we are like, what we should expect from ourselves, what we should see our life being like, and what the way God is going to work in our life. There are so many scriptures in the New Testament reflecting that. You know, if you want, you can start reading things like everything they say in Christ and by Christ and with everything. You know, there are hundreds of scriptures about that. Okay. Now, we are going to look at them in a more systematic way so that you start applying and understanding the way they work in different areas of your life, and you can benefit, have the full benefit from this new covenant. It actually, you know, what should result in is power, and is and the ability to see things happening supernaturally in your life that are, you know, far beyond what we ever seen around. And the people that have that understanding are the people that actually they are seeing these things happening. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is exciting. You know, you know, if you read this before going to bed, it's very difficult to go to sleep. Because you just get awake. Quickened. Praise the Lord. All right. So let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father. We just praise you and thank you for today. Lord, we ask you that you may enable us to receive the understanding and the revelation, Lord, that you gave to Paul and the other apostles, Lord, that we may be able to apply these things to our lives and to see, Lord, that the impact of what you made possible for us, for the, Lord, not just the question of being, you know, going to services or going to meeting or doing Bible studies, but to see your power and your ability manifested in our lives and to experience victory beyond any imagination that we can have, and that this is your will for us. This is your plan for us, and we just open ourselves up to you, Lord, to do our part of the experience, Lord, our part of, Lord, what needs to be done. Because, Lord, we know that you require from us a response, a commitment, Lord, to your desires, Lord, by faith, believing, Lord, that you are enabling us to become the people that you have made us already. And so we just praise you and thank you for that, Lord. And we look forward to grow and to develop, Lord, into the people that you want us to be, and to be your children, and to be spreading the gospel, and to be spreading the truth and the life that you came to give us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.